Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Yo, it's a Thursday in the big city. How we doing today? Evan Roberts, Tiki Barber, Evan and Tiki, and we got a lot to do on this Thursday. Bad Tiki will join the show at 4:30. I know everybody anticipates that. I worked very hard compiling a list I call the Jets Stinko de Five-O, as I will rank the five worst seasons in the history of the New York Jets. A lot to do. We'll talk to you throughout the day, 888-808-1019. Tiki, how are you, sir?
Fantastic. I can't wait to get to that Stinko de Five-O. You know, you were talking yesterday, or not you were talking. Sean was trolling you yesterday about David Wright.
Yeah.
The greatest number fives in New York sports history, and David Wright was number five, which really is kind of apropos. Like, the best number five is number five on the list. Shouldn't that make sense, right? But besides that, I listened to some of his comments after the fact. So yesterday when I got home, talking about Pete Alonso and what he should do and how he should basically take a hometown discount. Now, I'm not a Met fan. But when I think about what Pete Alonso is facing right now, and you know this, Evan, because we've talked about it a couple of times, there is no market for Pete Alonso, at least not at the inflated $32 million a year for 7, 8, 9 years, whatever the heck Scott Boras wants, even though John Heyman said it's more around 6 years. But even at 6 years, it doesn't feel like there's a huge market for Pete Alonso right now. And I know nothing about this because money in football, especially when I was playing, is nowhere near money in baseball. In fact, Pete Alonso's per year will be what I made in my entire career. I'm positive. So when I think about Pete Alonso and what could happen if he goes elsewhere, it becomes really damaging to him as a brand, as a entity. Because let's say he goes to the Diamondbacks. Just pick a team out of thin air.
Right.
He goes to the Diamondbacks, and he's just good but not great. Are the Diamondbacks really going to cherish him? Are they going to retire his number?
No.
Exactly. And if he leaves the Mets, he isn't really accomplished. I know he won Rookie of the Year, but he hasn't won anything here. And so how are the Mets going to remember Pete Alonso as someone who jilted them when he got a chance to go make some money and fired his agent and hired Scott Boras and held everybody hostage until he got the most money he possibly could? I almost feel like Pete Alonso, and I hate saying this because it's a stupid cliche, he needs to take the hometown discount like David Wright said. And I know this from personal experience. Like, I wasn't a highly sought-after free agent in 2000 when my initial contract came free. But I, like, innately I knew I couldn't leave New York. I hadn't done enough yet. And when I think back on it, if I had left New York in 2000, let's say I went and played in Tampa with my brother, which would have been an awesome story, New York Giant fans would remember me. I would have been like a pimple on their mind's butt, right? It wouldn't have mattered what my career would have been if I had left at my point of free agency. But I stayed. I got better and better. And then ultimately, even though I didn't win a championship, I still feel like spending my entire career with the New York Giants gave me a memorable legacy, especially if you were of that impressionable age, like the guys on the other side of the glass here, who were young and loved the Giants and were, you know, I don't know, fans of me to the point where it lasted for a long time. And that's because I stayed, right? Staying in a place, especially when the options aren't great other places, might be the best thing for Pete. Now, the only thing that's in the way, Evan, is Scott Boras. Scott Boras is going to force him to wait. And I think at some point, Pete's going to have to make a decision. He's going to have to make a decision on whether this is about Scott Boras or whether this is about Pete Alonso and what his brand and his legacy means, especially if he stays with the New York Mets.
I'm so glad you said it because you have a lot more credibility on this than me. I'm just a fan. And as a fan, I would say to Pete Alonso, if a team offered you 7 years, $200 million, I'd say go take it. I'd say that is such a great, overwhelming offer that you're not going to get here. It's life-changing money. God bless you.
Right.
And I won't, I'd understand it, right? If he's going to end up having to settle for some kind of shortish term contract, then even if it is less money with the Mets, it should be with the Mets because you nailed it. You're 1,000% right. Like, I look at a player like you, a great player. If you had left the Giants in 2000 or 2001, It's not that people would dislike you. Of course, people would be like, oh, yeah, Tiki Barber was a good Giant. Mm-hmm. But it wouldn't be the same.
Right.
Yeah, right. It would just be different. And I think Pete Alonso isn't facing your dead to us territory, just to borrow a phrase. He's, you know what he's going towards? Not your dead to us. You're relevant to us.
Yeah.
And that's a sad place to go. And that's where he could go if he leaves this franchise.
Yeah. And I don't want that for him. I think Pete Alonso serves a role on this upcoming Met team. Right? We know that they've spent a ton of money to bring in Juan Soto, or at least get Juan Soto in free agency. But I still feel like the roster isn't complete. It isn't right. Championship ready yet. And maybe he doesn't want to be second fiddle like Aaron Judge potentially was going to be if he had stayed with the Yankees, to Juan Soto and the aura and the pomp and circumstance. But I think since he predated Juan Soto, he becomes more like the anchor, just like Aaron Judge was the anchor with the Yankees, especially because the fan base already loves and appreciates Pete Alonso. And I look, maybe we're talking more about the personal side of this rather than the monetary side of this, but I think you can't let the monetary side get in the way. And who am I to say he should take less? But it is, I'm just thinking about what's best for Pete Alonso. Because if he goes somewhere else and he's not Herculean superstar, which, let's face it, I don't know if he's ever going to get to that point in his career. I don't know if he's going to hit 58 home runs somewhere else. I don't know if he's going to become the superstar of our superstars. And if he doesn't, then what did he leave for?
Right. Look, when you talk about monetarily, I think there's a difference between a team blowing him away,
yes,
and basically Peach is taking the last dollar to leave because he felt disrespected by the way the Mets negotiated with him. Like I said, if Pete Alonso gets an offer from a team, and so far that offer isn't there, in which he gets the 5 or 6 years he was requesting, which so far, again, it's not there,
right,
then I understand taking the most money if it's by a lot. But if it's by a little, you're cutting your nose off to spite your face, because wherever you go, there's no way you have any shot to live in that franchise's history the way you can live in the history of the New York Mets if you stay.
Yeah, I think if he stays here and the Mets somehow get to and win a World Series.
Oh, he's a god.
Absolutely.
He's a god.
Because he stayed.
Yes.
Because he had the chance to leave. And who knows what the money's going to be. It's not going to be what I think people are speculating about. But if he stays and they win, then how can you ever forget Pete Alonso?
No, he would be a legend, even if, by the way, he isn't their super, superstar player, mm-hmm, even if he isn't their best player, which he's not. Look, Juan Soto's a better player. Francisco Lindor's a better player. Because he's a lifelong Met, because he came up here as a prospect and developed here, something Lindor and Soto did not do.
Right.
He's always going to have that warm, special place in Met fans' hearts. And you give that away when you leave. You give that away, and don't let disrespect be the reason you leave. It would be the biggest mistake Pete Alonso could make. Because, look, Daryl Strawberry's tried to say it. You mentioned David Wright has, mm-hmm, said it. You have said it. Guys with experience. Look, Pete, if you leave, understand your legacy around here is far different. If you stay, you've got a chance to write a legacy in which you come back for autograph shows 30 years from now.
No, you're right. And people, you walk down the street, whether you're staying in New York and you live in Queens or out on the island, or maybe you go to New Jersey, my side of the rivers, and then people are going to love you, right? And it's I don't know, it's kind of a unique experience. I'm sure David experiences this. I know Doc Doc lives in L.A. now, doesn't he? No.
St. Louis, believe it or not.
St. Louis, that's right.
Yeah.
So whatever, they're out of here. But if you spend an entire career, then you become like a part of this whole thing. You know what I mean? It's like you're not the star because you're not playing anymore. And I'm talking 15, 20 years down the line like I am. I'm 20 years out of the game almost. It's almost like you're ubiquitous with the organization. And when they think of the team, they think of you and that era. And whether it was good or you won a championship or not, you become part of people's memories. And that's something that you can't really get if you go someplace else.
But for you, I ask you now, you loved living here and you understood the opportunities
I did.
That this city and this area presents. But did you think at all about the legacy part?
Well, for me, it was more because I started to get in the media.
Right.
And so I thought more about the messaging part of it and what, you know, how I could tell my story down the line. I mean, me and my brother wrote children's books, and one of the reasons we did that was so we could tell the stories to our kids in print form. But Now, once I got into radio, not necessarily the TV side, which I did for a long time, when I got in the radio side, it was like, it was about telling the story. And so for me, I stayed here because of what New York itself was, not necessarily right. the New York Giants. But now that I look back on it, the best thing I could have done is stayed here as a player and then also stayed here as a post-career player. You know what I mean? It's like
yeah.
my existence, my professional career lives on because I stayed here and I spent my whole career here. And let's be real, it's rare. You don't see a lot of guys, really, in any sport that spend an entire, and here's the caveat, great career
yes.
at one place. Right? And so
especially the Mets, Teague. Especially the Mets.
Right. I mean, you had it with DeGrom, or at least you guys thought you did.
And right.
And he bounced at the end. Now, I
right.
think he still is remembered in a very unique way because of how great he was. But
well, that's the difference. Like, look, the Mets as a franchise, and they are unique because with your team, there's a bunch of guys that we could say this about.
Right.
You played your whole career there. Eli, Michael Strahan. Like, the list actually goes on and on. The Met list is very short. It's David Wright. And look, mm-hmm. not to re-argue David Wright's legacy. I think he's a borderline Hall of Famer, but what have you, an injury, it kind of cost the latter part of his career. There's one thing we can't argue. David Wright is beloved. That's
yeah.
the one thing nobody could argue. Every Met fan loves the fact that that number five is going into the rafters in July. And I'll make you a prediction. That stadium will be sold out that day. There were empty seats for Doc and Darryl. And there's a lot of reasons for that.
Yeah.
But when David Wright gets his number retired, it will be sold out. And it's going to be a red hot ticket. And a part of it is that his entire career was here. Right?
Right.
Pete Alonso. While maybe he will never be a Hall of Famer, in fact, the odds are he's not going
to
be a Hall of Famer.
I mean, he's going to have some epic seasons the next, like, 5 or 6 years and
right.
maybe win 2 championships, and then
right.
we'll talk about him being a Hall of Famer.
But forget Hall of Fame, then. You mentioned that championship part.
Mm-hmm.
If Pete Alonso is on a championship team, then despite Jake being an all-time great pitcher and David Wright being a beloved Met who has his number retired, Pete'll have something those two don't.
Yeah.
And that is a championship for a franchise that, as of right now, only has two. So what's on the line for Pete, and it's not like, I don't think you're even suggesting, hey, Pete, you're offered $200 million by the Mariners.
Right.
Go take a 2-year deal with the Mets. We get it.
No, that's not what we're saying.
If the money is that crazy, right. then God bless you.
Well,
but if it's close...
Right.
Don't leave, bro.
It's not even about being close. Evan, the point is nobody's offering anything.
Well, right now, no one
That's
is.
That's what
yeah.
I mean. And so
you're right.
The only reason this came to me was because I saw the comments from David Wright. And then in the respect of the comments that we had, where there's no market for Pete right now. At least it seems like there's no market for Pete. And one of the better players over the last 6-7 years. Nobody's interested in. Nobody's
yeah.
banging on the door of Pete Alonso. And maybe this is, you know, reminiscent of what happened last year with some of those high-priced free agents that's got Boar's Head as well, and they had to wait until the end of spring training before they got on teams. But I don't want that for Pete. I don't want that for Pete, especially because the Mets they started to climb this mountain. Right? We saw it last year. We saw it unexpectedly last year after everybody thought the expectation was going to be extraordinarily low. They went on this magical run and they go to the NLCS. And Pete was part of that climb. He's one of those engines that you stick on the back of the train and push it up the hill. And then if he leaves, right, that train just could keep going and he's just kind of left.
Yeah,
he's just left there. He's left there. And you know what happens to a train on a hill that's not engined anymore? It just slides back into irrelevancy. Goes down
yeah.
the hill and sits at the bottom of the canyon and nobody cares about it. And I don't want that for Pete. He's goofy, he's like corny sometimes, but he feels like he's yours.
He is.
And
he's our goofball. He's our dopey man.
Exactly. To have that elsewhere, I don't know. It'd just be a disservice to him.
It's
almost why I dislike the fact that he got with Boris and it's becoming one of those, I'm one of the best, pay me like the best type of situations.
Pete's got to remember, Scott Boris works for him.
Yes, of course.
We all know
that that's the truth, but you got to tell the athlete that sometimes.
No, and that's why we're doing this. And I think it's great that it comes from you. Because you are a guy, one of those unique players that played their entire time in New York. And you've even admitted, if you left in 01 or 02, you're viewed differently.
Right.
You're still a wonderful player that people like, but it's not the same. You lose something when you leave.
I agree.
So when Pete makes this decision, he's got to factor that in. Scott Boras is not factoring that in because Scott Boras doesn't give a rat's patoot.
He's got about one job.
One job is to get the most money.
He's
not thinking about Pete Alonso in 2040. Because in 2040, if he's a lifelong Met, he comes back every year to Citi Field, and he's a freaking legend.
Yep.
If he leaves right now and starts bouncing around the league because he was disrespected by the New York Mets, we'll remember him, sure, but it won't be the same. And this is the warning I have for Pete. Because as of right now, like you said, Tiki, there's no market for him, okay? And my assumption is there will never be a big market for him. He is going to have to settle for some kind of short-term, what they call pillow contract.
Right.
If that's what he has to settle for, it would be the biggest mistake one can make for him not to take that with the New York Mets. To go to any other franchise on a short-term deal would be a colossal mistake, and the only reason you would do it is because you're bitter about the way the Mets negotiated it. And I'm telling you right now,
but does he
don't
feel
let
bitter?
Bitterness get in the
but
way.
But does he feel bitter? So let's go back to Aaron Judge. Judge, when he was negotiating with Brian Cashman or the New York Yankees, whoever we're going to put it, he felt bitter. That felt like that was, you smacked me in the face. In fact, you told the offer that I turned down or didn't accept going into my contract year, and you were actively trying to disrespect me. So in free agency, I could see why Aaron Judge would have been bitter. And by the way, Aaron Judge hit 62 home runs that year. Aaron Judge was an MVP that year. So to be disrespected in that kind of season, you have the right to be bitter. I don't feel like Pete should be bitter with how the Mets are handling this.
I don't think he should be, but I think he will be. Even though the Mets made a very good offer to him 2 years ago that he turned down, which has turned out to be a mistake. Sometimes being bitter isn't the most rational thing in the world. Maybe in his mind, after hitting one of the most majestic home runs in the history of the franchise, he feels he should be getting better offers than a 1 or 2 year deal from the New York Mets.
Yeah, but it doesn't happen. Moments don't create extended value. That's why I keep hearing these. We'll talk about this later on the show, this Drew Aller stuff from Penn State. Maybe he'll come out if he has a good college football semifinal. I'm like, well, why are you evaluating differently? He has one great game. So I don't think it's the same for Pete Alonso. Yes, he had a very important postseason. And we'll never forget where we were when he hit that home run. I was on a plane heading out for the Seahawks and the Giants game. And there were Met Giant fans on the flight who just started going crazy. But that moment doesn't make your 2024 season epic enough to be desired by everybody.
What I know is that Pete Alonso stays, he has a chance to live in Met history.
Mm-hmm.
If Pete Alonso leaves, it's not that he's dead to us. It isn't that extreme.
What if he goes and plays for the Phillies?
He's not, though. You know what I mean?
What if he did? What if he did?
I mean, is he dead to us? I don't know. I'll reevaluate when it actually happens. I think if he leaves, he becomes irrelevant to us. Because you made the great analogy about a moving train, whether it's going out and getting Luis Arraez or getting Anthony Santander or trading for Vlad Guerrero Jr. That's what we're going to do as Met fans.
Right.
We're going to think bigger and better and say, all right, we wish Pete was back, but we have to move on. So you won't be dead to us, Pete. But where you stand in the history of this franchise, it will change. And I want you to learn something, believe it or not, from Derek Jeter. I can't believe I'm going to invoke Derek Jeter's name. But years ago, and this has now been well chronicalized, Derek Jeter was insulted by Brian Cashman during negotiations late in his career, where Jeter wanted big money. Brian Cashman basically said what the Mets said, which is, yeah, go get it. Go get it, take it back to us, and then we'll believe you. Couldn't get a big offer. They had a face-to-face meeting, and Jeter made the mistake of saying to Brian Cashman, who would you rather have at shortstop than me? And Brian Cashman, the honest guy he was, answered. And he said, Troy Tulowitzki and Hanley Ramirez. And Derek Jeter was pissed off.
He should have been.
You're
Come
right.
on now.
You're right, but guess what? At the end of the day, as mad as Jeter was at Brian Cashman, he re-signed. Because I think deep down Jeter knew, while it wasn't going to ruin his Yankee legacy if he left, I think he had accomplished so much by that point, he just knew it matters more than bitterness to finish my career with the New York Yankees. And for Pete Alonso, take advice from David Wright, take advice from Tiki Barber, take advice from Daryl Strawberry, who went the other way with this. It will matter more to you long term to be a New York Met than taking a few extra dollars because you're bitter at the way the Mets are negotiating.
Right, and being bitter at an individual doesn't mean it needs to translate to the entire organization. It just it is what it is. The guy's doing his job. It's one of the things that makes it hard. Like in the NFL, when some of these head coaches, Bill Belichick is a perfect example. Andy Reid was also this way when he was in Philadelphia. He's kind of negotiating contracts, but also his head coach. So right. He's saying one thing out of one side of his mouth and something else out of the other side of his mouth. That's not the case in baseball. You have a president of baseball operations or a GM who's telling you you're not worth this, that, and the other thing. Everybody else, from the trainer to the head coach to the batting coach to your teammate, they're all saying, we want you to be the greatest thing in the world. So don't let that bitterness against one cloud your thoughts and belief about everybody else.
We will get your calls throughout the day. 888-808-1019, the toll-free number. Pete Alonso better take the advice of not just David Wright, but Tiki Barber. Guys that know best, you better stay. We'll also unveil my Jets Stinko Def 5-0 list coming up at around 3 o'clock. And a new intriguing Jet head coaching candidate that we will discuss later on in the program. Tiki mentions Drew Aller and his game tonight with Penn State. We'll analyze that later. And Bad Tiki will join the program. 888-808-1019.
Evan and Tiki here on the fan.
Sorry about that. I was very distracted, and I'll tell you exactly what I'm distracted by. Do you want to know what it is, Tiki?
Please tell me.
I think America is going to be distracted by this. So I'm at home today because I have COVID, and that sucks, but whatever, all right? So I still need to isolate because that's what my wife and family want me to do. So I have spent the entire morning.
You should have isolated in here. You know I don't mind.
No, I know you don't mind, but trust me, there are people at the radio station that do mind. Rich Ackerman!
Ryan Hurley.
Oh, yeah, him too. So I've been home, like, analyzing a video over and over and over again, and maybe we'll address this later once you analyze the video, too.
Okay.
And that video is Donald Trump and Barack Obama.
Oh, I saw it at the Jimmy Carter memorial service.
At Jimmy Carter's funeral, yeah.
Yes.
Basically, no one wants to talk to each other. Bill Clinton looks miserable. George Bush doesn't look miserable. He's just in his own world, but right. That's what W does. Kamala looks miserable. Biden looks like he's on another planet. And Trump is saying something to Obama, and Obama's cracking up. And I've got a lot of tweets I will read to you later from some of my followers because I put the video out and said, what is he saying to President Obama?
We need to know what they're laughing about.
I need to know. And so I'll read some of them to you later, but one that did jump out at me that was very, very funny was what Trump said to Obama, and then Morash said he doesn't care anymore that the Mets got Soto.
Juan Soto.
Oh, you can tell your followers, trolling Sean from afar.
Well, I was proud of my followers because very few people made it political. They understood the humor in
it.
So they really had funny answers that, you know, excluded the whole, hey, let's just have tribal warfare when it comes to politics. So, but I can't let's get enough of this video.
Let's make politics boring again, please.
Yes. Let's get to your calls. Tiki Barber made a very compelling point to begin this show. Rewind on the Odyssey app if you missed it, that Pete Alonso's got to think long and hard about the ramifications of if he leaves New York. We understand he's a free agent. He has every right to go wherever he wants to go, sign wherever he wants to sign. But being here in New York and finishing your career with one team, it elevates you. David Wright leaves in the middle of his career to go to Philadelphia or go to St. Louis. It's different.
Right.
Tiki leaves in the middle of his career to go to Tampa to hang out with Rondé. It's different.
My golf game would be a lot better.
It would be. No, you're right. But I don't know how you're viewed here. You're viewed positively, but you know not what? Like the legend
you
are.
I wouldn't be hosting the show with you. I wouldn't be on WFAN.
I'd be
doing something else or nothing like Ron Nate does down in Tampa, except for play golf and work for charities, which is a good thing, obviously. He does some things, but you know what I mean.
So think about this, Pete Alonso. If you want to have a shot to replace Boomer many years down the road for the Alonso and Geo show, then you need to stay in New York. That's the bottom line. Let's get to your calls. Got a lot of football to get to, including some breaking news involving quarterbacks in college and their futures. We'll get to 888-808-1019. Let's go to John in Jackson, New Jersey. How are you, John?
John, what's up, man?
Hello, John.
I hear you, John, but you're not talking. John, what's up, man? John.
All right.
Going once. John, going twice. John,
all right, see you later. Let's go to Mike in Staten Island. How are you, Mike?
Mike, what's up?
Hello?
Hey, Mike, what's happening? Why is nobody ready? Can they not hear us?
I think
that might be what it is. So we'll put you on hold, Mike, and we'll get someone to
figure out. You're telling me we got caller screening software? Is that what you're telling me?
Well, I mean, the behind-the-scenes thing that just occurred here is something happened on the other side of that glass. I don't know if it was Loogie or Sean.
Sean definitely unplugged something back here. This is internal sabotage, clearly, by Maresh.
You know what it is? He's so excited because Igor Shesterkin is back for the... for the Rangers.
You're damn right.
They're about to get their ass kicked by the New Jersey Devils in a get-right game for the Devils who've lost four in a row. And he's tripping over stuff back there and cutting off all the caller's ability to get in touch with us.
Yeah, I do blame Sean. I agree with you.
Sean,
by the way,
it's your fault.
Peanut butter stuck in the phone bank. That's my bad.
During the last commercial break, I put together a coalition. And I don't mean a coalition of Nick haters. I mean a coalition of New York legends that may have to have an intervention with Pete Alonso.
Ooh, wow.
Obviously, you've already started it off, and David Wright started it off yesterday. But listen to this coalition of New York legends that coalesce around Pete Alonso and tell him the good and the bad of staying and leaving. You ready? Tiki Barber.
Yep.
David Wright.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Strahan. Eli Manning. Daryl Strawberry, because Daryl tells him about the evils of leaving. And then Robinson Cano.
Wait, so this is a hypothetical.
This is a hypothetical coalition of people.
Well, I mean, two of them have already done it, so.
That's right. You and David have already done it, but now.
All we got to do is get Eli and Strahan on board.
And Daryl and Cano, I think, are important because they're two guys that would admit. Daryl's already admitted it, and I'm not sure Robbie has, that leaving New York was the worst decisions in their careers. Like, Daryl's already said it. I think with Daryl, it runs deeper than that. He went home to L.A., obviously had a lot of problems off the field, and I think going home was not necessarily the best thing for him.
Right.
But that's a part of it.
But he also only admitted it when he came back, right, when they retired his number.
I had heard him admit it a few years before that, so it wasn't like that was breaking news when he did the retirement ceremony a year ago. I think he became more reflective after his career is over, and that's when I think you finally understand this stuff. I think while your career is going on, like when Robbie was in Seattle, and maybe even still now with Robbie Cano, because he's a great example that's sort of underrated in this. Robinson Cano won a championship with the New York Yankees. Now, granted, the Yankees winning one title is sometimes not enough,
right.
Just ask A-Rod, but...
What do you mean, just ask A-Rod? A-Rod has his jersey, his number, retired right here in the Mike Francisa WFAN studio.
Yeah, but not at, you know, the Yankee Stadium.
Okay, but isn't it good enough to be in here and retired? I'd love to have my number retired at some point in WFAN studios.
Oh,
I mean,
wow.
They've run out of rooms to dedicate to people, so
well, we
maybe
did.
I can get my jersey. This is Tiki Barber.
We didn't retire your number, but one thing we do have hanging from the WFAN studio, the Mike Francesa studio, is you dressed in a Breece Hall Jets jersey.
It is.
Is that not enough for you?
I mean, I guess it works. It's the right number.
Exactly.
No, it's not the right number. Well,
it's not the right number.
It is, because I kind of look like Rondé these days because I've lost so much weight, and Rondé wore number 20. So I could just lie to people and say, that's not me, that's Rondé.
There you go. I think in Cano's case, like, he's a homegrown Yankee.
Right.
He wins a world championship as one of the key players, and he's putting together a Hall of Fame career. And then he leaves.
Yeah.
And, like, I think when he left, the belief was, you know what? You got the most money, we understand. There was some bitterness towards him. I'm not saying everybody was rah-rah, but it's not like he went to a rival, and the Mariners offered a great amount of money. But now Robbie Cano, when you think about where he stands in Yankee history, it's not that he's hated, but it's like a shrug of the shoulders.
Right.
If he spent his entire career here, don't you think it's different?
It's funny, it's because it's almost an indifference. It's a respect for what he did when he accomplished here, but there's a little bit of an indifference here. And in fact, he only comes up when talking about free agents that left. And it becomes, well, the Yankees only let free agents go that they didn't want.
Right.
And, like, that's his claim with the Yankees, is he was the free agent that they didn't want to keep and they let walk. And
right.
They can buy and pay for any free agent you want. The one they didn't want was Robbie Cano. So he went and made his money elsewhere. So, I mean, it's a shame because it's not what he should be known for here, but it is what he's known for because he left.
Well, and that's the interesting thing. Like, Sean, when you think of Robbie Cano, who was a really good Yankee. I mean, if you take his numbers to begin his Yankee career and you compare it to Pete Alonso's numbers, Robbie Cano's numbers were better.
And did win a championship, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he won a championship. Now, again, the Yankees are a little different because you've won a lot of championships.
Right. Sure.
But if Robbie stays, even if the same stuff unfolds, the steroid stuff, which we can't ignore, don't you think the way you view him would be very different than the way you view him now?
Absolutely, and I'll add to that, let's not be hypocritical. Yankee fans, we've turned our eye to plenty of other guys who have been connected to steroids or PEDs. So, yes, of course we'd view him differently. He'd be ours. We'd jump to his defense at every turn as a result of that, too.
That is the big difference. And I know it's tough in the midst of free agency because you're thinking about respect and you're mm-hmm. thinking about money. And so if you're Pete, you know, you're going to get a lot of money no matter what in terms of real life worth, but you kind of view it as respect. And I understand that. But the way you're viewed over the next 5 years or 10 years or after your career is over, this is the fork in the road he's facing. Because it is one way, beloved New York Met, versus, yeah, he was here for a bunch of years and he was pretty good and he had that majestic home run. And then he left and he bounced into obscurity. And that's the odds are of what happens if he leaves. He kind of bounces into obscurity.
You know, it's interesting. I'd love to hear from Pete Alonso. Recently, I don't know the last time he addressed anybody, but I wonder what his the priority is for him, because I don't know necessarily. I know what Scott Boras says, but I don't know what Pete Alonso says. Well, I mean, like, is it the money? Is it I want to create a legacy? Is it I like being in whatever this part of the world? Let's say I want to stay in New York because I like being a New Yorker type of thing. Like, I don't know what's important to Pete Alonso, and if it doesn't align, then I could see him going elsewhere. But if it aligns with the New York Yankees, I mean New York Mets, in this area of the country, the fan base, and money is just kind of somewhere on the line, but not the top of the line. Like Juan Soto, it was money, right? We knew it was right. It was right up there near the top. With Pete Alonso, I don't know if that's the case. Now, maybe by hiring Boras, he is saying money is the most important thing, but I think that's the wrong way to go about it, especially in a baseball ecosphere that isn't necessarily just freely giving out money to everybody. They give it to the guys that earn it and then deserve it, but they're not going to give it to everybody. We saw that last offseason, and now we're seeing it with Pete Alonso.
Sean Morash has claimed he has removed the peanut butter from the caller bank, so we will attempt to say good afternoon to Marcus calling from Pennsylvania. How are you today, Marcus?
Marcus,
you didn't remove
what's
the
happening.
Peanut butter, Sean.
The peanut butter is still there.
We'll put I'm going to add jelly in a little bit.
By the way, speaking of which, so I mentioned I'm isolated, which feels so 2020.
Are you like fully isolated?
You
haven't seen your kids at all today.
No, so what happened was, if you listened to the show yesterday, you could hear that my voice wasn't mm-hmm. the strongest, and you guys told me go to sleep, don't watch the Cavalier game, don't watch the Knick game.
Did you go to sleep?
I did. So I went home, and I immediately went to sleep. Okay,
that's not going to sleep. What I mean by going to sleep is like going to bed at a normal time and sleeping through the night. So you went to sleep at like 8 and then woke up at 3.
Boy, you nailed it. How the hell did you know?
Because I know you, dude. I've only known you for worked with you for 2 years, but
I know you
already. Yeah, you sleep like a baby. You go to bed early and you wake up in the middle of the night. You want to hungry.
That's exactly what happened. So I went to sleep at 8. I woke up at 3 a.m. And for whatever reason, I felt like death. Like I felt like, oh, my God, how has this gotten worse? I thought I was sleeping. And so I made this huge mistake. And you know what that mistake was?
What's that?
I want to warn everybody about this mistake. Maybe you can learn from me. I decided to take a COVID test. And why I did that? Probably the biggest mistake I could make. When I took the test and I saw I had COVID, I asked my wife, what do you want me to do? Because my initial reaction was like, I'm not going to do anything. You know, I'm going to hang out and then I'm going to come to work. And maybe I'll give someone a heads up. Maybe I won't. I'm not sure. And she gave me no, you got to isolate, man. And I was like, oh, crap, really? So I isolated in this room where I have my studio and where I have some bunch of TVs. But here's where the peanut butter comes in, okay? Because you're probably wondering, where is this going? So
I don't want to hear Dudley's name at all.
It's cool when it's your dog. Don't worry.
So my father-in-law says, what do you want to eat? Through the peephole, obviously. And I was like, you know what? I got a craving for peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. So my father-in-law, or my wife, I'm not sure who made it, made 4 peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
At 3:30 in the morning.
Nah, this was later. Now we're at like 7 a.m. Now it's later in the morning. And so I went to town on these PBJs, Teague. Oh, my God.
I'm telling you, you don't listen to me when I tell you how I get over getting sick. Because I get sick, not all the time, but when I do, I get over it very easily. I stuff myself, go take four Motrin, which is 800 milligrams, and then I go to bed and I sweat it out. And then when I wake up in the morning, I'm hydrated, obviously, as well. I wake up in the morning, I feel great, right? You have to eat. Eat and sleep.
You're right.
Eat and sleep.
Eat and sleep.
That'll get you right.
Well, I'll tell you this. Eat, sleep, and fart. Because I can't tell you how many times I've had gas over the last, couple of hours.
TMI.
I'm just being honest with you.
But is that chunky or creamy peanut butter creating that?
Not creamy. Gotta go creamy, bro.
Always creamy.
I'm a creamy guy. You can't go chunky.
Don't tell me
I don't even
chunky.
Understand the
Sean,
point
are
of
you chunky?
Chunky?
I am mainly creamy.
I'm talking about your peanut butter.
Yeah, I understand.
Fat!
I don't think it. I don't think it makes sense to choose one over the other. So if I'm going to move, I keep both in the house at all times. Put it that way.
I don't know when chunky's even useful. Like, what's the point of chunky?
No, a good peanut butter jelly with a little crunch in it, I think is totally fine.
Nah, I'm a big peanut butter guy, and I love peanuts, but it doesn't go together.
Right.
You know?
Just put potato chips on the sandwich if you want the crunch in it.
Potato chips.
Right. No, Tiki's right. Tiki's right. And with the ridges, too, because there's better texture.
Right. And they last longer. The ones, the flat ones, like the regular whatever, they just fall apart. The ridges, they have some sturdiness to them.
All right. Maybe I'll try that later tonight.
There you go.
But I do want to answer your question, because I think I know what Pete wants as of right now. And it's January 9th. And I think we all have to understand this calendar is a slow-moving calendar, but things are going to change as we get closer to spring training.
Yes.
On January 9th, Pete Alonso wants a long-term contract. And I don't blame him for that. Like, I don't. He's 30 years old. And I think anybody in life, no matter what profession you have, while certainly you want money, you want security.
Right.
And so Pete Alonso, and the latest reporting has said that, wants a 5 or 6 year contract. The problem is no one's offering anywhere close to that. So it's one thing to want something, but if no one's going to offer it, you're not going to get it. So where I stand with Pete is I think for right now, Pete's going to have to eventually on his own with Scott Boras get off the 5 or 6 years. Now, maybe that doesn't happen on January 9th, Teague, because there's no reason to get off of it January
9th. I just hope it doesn't happen. It doesn't get to like March 12th and we're having these same conversations. And all of a sudden, Pete Alonso, he looks weak in the negotiation and he has no advantage in this negotiation, like we saw last year with some of those guys that ended up taking those 1 or 2 year deals with opt-outs. And basically you're playing for your contract again. Now, we were having this conversation before the show. I think one of the mistakes that Pete made was changing. He can go with Boras. He can do whatever he wants. I don't even care. But doing it before his contract year added more pressure to Pete Alonso. And you felt that. You could see it. And I think if he had just waited to move on, we wouldn't have had the same kind of pressure on Pete Alonso, or at least us, saying, you better prove it, you better prove it, you better prove it. And then he didn't. And that's why right now it feels like it's a dry market for him out there.
And I don't think anything is going to change in the next month to change that dry market.
No.
Like sometimes you wait for something to change it. What would change the market for Pete Alonso? Like, I don't know. I mean, you want to tell me the Blue Jays miss out on another free agent, Anthony Santander signed somewhere else, and the Blue Jays wake up and they're like, screw it, we're desperate? Like, it doesn't make sense. So
but I think if you were desperate for Pete, wouldn't you have already made an offer?
No, I agree with you. That's why I don't think things are going to change. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think the market for him is going to change. So to your point of when is he going to come off of wanting 5 or 6 years, I don't know.
Right.
Like, for everybody,
well, eventually he will. Right, because that's what Boras' clients have done. Like, he did it with Bellinger, did it with Snell, did it with all these guys. Right.
Right.
Eventually, they come off of it, and they say, all right, we'll take the short-term, the pillow deal, as you call it. I don't know where that comes from, but I get it, right? Just let me prove it again. Bring me in. I'll show you that I'm worth it, and then I'm going to opt out, and then we'll go through this whole process again. So eventually, he'll come off of it, but, I mean, it just sucks for Pete because I understand wanting the security. You're not going to get... You only get so many bites at that apple to make significant generational type money. And this is his first real bite at it. And he's misplayed it.
He certainly has. And the way I view it is this way. If somehow, shockingly, he gets a long-term contract, I would be more angry, if angry at all, at the Mets, that they allowed him to get that and leave. That's a Met decision, because I can't blame Pete Alonso if somebody gives in on a five-year contract for him taking that.
Well, let me ask
but if
you
he takes a pillow deal, I'll be mad at him for taking a pillow deal elsewhere.
Well, let me
That's the way
you,
I would view it.
Do you think the Mets really want Pete Alonso back?
Do they do want him back? For the right price and years, yes.
So, yeah. if that's the case, then whatever offer he gets, you got to believe they're going to look seriously at it then.
I think so. I think the what I've learned about David Stearns in the 2 years he's been here is that he has like rules in his head, like the Stearns rules. He'll give big money out. He doesn't want to give long-term contracts to guys in their 30s.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to.
That's just his philosophy. Now, the question is, does he make even a little bit of an exception because it's Pete Alonso? Because of everything that we've talked about, we've spoken it from a fan, you know, let's just say evaluation state, you know, perspective of what he would mean, what it would mean for him to come back. But do you think the Mets think that as well? Do you think there's a value in signing Pete Alonso, whether it's ticket sales or jersey sales or something not pertaining to what's going to happen on the field on every afternoon of a baseball season?
That's a great question. Because
and I don't know. I don't know what that is. I know what it is for Juan Soto. It's significant.
Yeah, well, okay. Well, I'll give you one specific, and then Sean claims, and if he's wrong about this, I think he has to wear the L for another day. But Sean claims the peanut butter has been officially cleared off the phone banks, so we will get to you in a minute. But let me just say this, or ask you this. Pete Alonso, if he's back with the New York Mets and is healthy, like doesn't get hurt,
right,
will break the all-time record for home runs by a Met in their career. That will happen this year. He will pass Darryl Strawberry. As he is around that
number.
That's
a big deal. That's a big deal.
Okay, will there be extra people in the stands?
Of course there will be.
Then there's a value to bringing it back.
That's a simple answer to a not complicated question, but a real question. But that's a simple answer to it. You're right.
Then they have to take that into account.
No
because
doubt.
This is a business, right?
Right. You sell records. You sell milestones. You sell, I need to be there for X. And a lot of people are going to say, I need to be there for when Pete Alonso, as a lifelong New York Met, assuming he re-signs here, breaks the all-time Met home run record.
Let us try to say good afternoon to Marcus in Pennsylvania. How are you, Marcus?
Marcus.
Hey guys, how you doing? Yeah, I got cut off. There was an issue going on. So, first of all, Tiki, you should be in the Hall of Fame because your career was getting better as you were getting up there in years. Your career was getting better. So,
appreciate it.
That's my vote for you for Hall of Fame.
Sounds like you're saying I sucked when I was young.
You were a good running back, but as running backs go on, they get their yards and everything get less.
Right.
You were actually getting better.
I appreciate that.
You know.
Thank you.
Yeah. I understand what you guys are saying. Legacy, Met legacy. You just made a good point that this year he could break the Met record. But you got to understand, if the Mets are offering him a 3-year deal with opt-outs, then like you said, Tiki, I'm piggybacking on they could. All right, he could break the record this year as a Met. And then Vladimir Guerrero becomes available and they go, Pete, we don't want you now. Hmm. And now Pete has to go through all that again. So, you know, I can understand the Met side, but I can also understand Pete's side.
Right.
He's in a bad spot where he has to look out for himself, too. If he gets a 3-year guarantee where he doesn't have to, you know, the Mets don't opt out on him, then, yeah, maybe he should take it. But suppose if there's opt outs where the Mets say after 1 year, all right, Pete. We don't want you.
No, you make a good point, but it doesn't usually work that way. I don't think that the Mets are going to offer him a contract where they can say, hey, Pete, great, we signed you, but we're going to get rid of you next year when we have a bigger, better deal. I don't think it would work that way. The only way that the opt-out would go, Pete would opt out, is if he outperformed
what
he believed was whatever the deal they gave him. But I think even on a short-term deal, and Evan and I talked about this last week, it's probably going to be an overpay AAV, but a short deal.
Yes.
Right? So his AAV should be around $25 million or so, 26, let's say. But if they gave him 3 years, 90, which is 30 a year, he'd have to really outperform it to want to opt out.
Right. The opt out would be in his court.
Yes.
And again, if he's going to get a similar deal elsewhere, you better take it here.
Yeah.
Taking it elsewhere. For what? Because, like, even if, let's say it's Colorado, let's say his judgment is this is a better hitter's park. So I go there, I'll put up better numbers. Because of his age and because of the way GMs view him now, I got to tell you, Teague, I don't think it's going to get any better next year, even off a big year.
I agree.
I don't think it's going to change.
Because he's now closer to 30, 32. You know what I mean? And so it's just a different evaluation for an older slugger, right? You know, eventually you can throw him into the DH role, but certain teams, they kind of have that filled already, or at least
prospectively
filled already.
We will get to your calls now that we got the peanut butter off the caller software at 888-808-1019. Coming up in the 3 o'clock hour, I reveal to you, and I've worked very hard on this, the Jets stinko de 5-0. After completing this horrible 2024 season, we will rank the worst seasons in the history of the New York Jets.
They've been in the abyss for 55 freaking years.
And counting. And counting. Evan and Tiki here on The Fan.